Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it. We're going to be continuing on in our series. We're going to get right to work, but I want to encourage you with the prayer emphasis month. If you can't come at 4 o'clock today, you could still get one of our pamphlets. Donna prepares these. You can contact her. We'll hand them out tonight. But what do you think would be a good prayer emphasis for September? We're going to be praying for our children, all right, because they're going back to school. So we're going to pray 5 P's over our children. That'll help you remember. And all the scriptures are there, and it's made to fit right in your Bible. So you can get that. Even if you don't come tonight, you still should come because it's a great time to pray for needs. And that's where we initiate the prayer emphasis for the month. But it'll be a great time just to share even our own needs. And then next month, we're going to do the 5 P's for teachers. That'll be our prayer emphasis. So you'll want to be sure to get a copy of that and come and be with us if you can. We'd sure appreciate that. Well, we're going to continue on in our series. Today, we finished chapter 5 last week. Wasn't that awesome? Man, it ended on a high note, didn't it? Boy, the church is doing great. The mission is unfolding just like Jesus said it would. They're hitting on all the cylinders. All systems are go. It had to be exciting, don't you think? And then the last time we got to get 2 weeks ago when we finished with chapter 5, Peter and John, well, they just got flogged. They were caned. They were beaten. And they were rejoicing. Wow, man, what a church. This is just amazing. And it seems like even in spite of all the opposition, the church keeps multiplying and growing. It almost seems like someone's throwing gasoline on the fire and it keeps flaring up, right? So it's exciting. And now we move to chapter 6. And after rejoicing, a problem comes up in the church. And we're going to be talking about problem solving today. And I don't know why Luke chose to record this for us, this little story, just 7 verses, 8 verses. I don't know why there could have been other stories, but he chose this one. It must have been important. So I'm going to put it on the screen for you. Verse 1, here it is. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Now, we don't know how long this was since chapter 5. Remember, book of Acts is 32 years of church history. So you don't read it like it's all, okay, now we did this and now we did this. But yeah, there was a passing of time. We don't know how much. They had to get healed up from their wounds probably. I don't know. And the church is growing. It says it's multiplying. And remember, where are they meeting? In the temple, right? Did that help you seeing that picture of the Solomon's porch to realize what a big place that was? 3 football fields. That's how big it was, almost, as part of the temple, on the east side of the temple. And pillars that were 150 feet tall. This is 45 feet here, I understand. So that's quite a big building. Is it bigger than this? And they were gathering. We saw hundreds, thousands of people. Things are going on. Everything we're reading about is taking place there. And why are they meeting there? I thought this was the church. What's going on? Well, they're Jewish. And they didn't think anything about it. They just were accepting Jesus as their Messiah. And one of the traditions that went on even before this time is they would have a distribution for widows. Now, we all know what a widow is, but when Paul talked to Timothy, he said, listen, we need to take care of the widows who are widows indeed. See, there are widows, and then there were widows indeed. What was the difference? Well, we know what a widow is. But a widow indeed was someone who didn't have family, didn't have anyone to take care of them. And in that culture, it would have been very difficult even to have provision. And so it was common in the temple they had distribution. Some historians say they would give out like 14 weeks' supply of food to these widows. And so now here are these Jewish believers who have grown to thousands meeting in Solomon's porch. And I imagine that some of these widows who are being taken care of, now they're followers of Jesus, I think probably they might have gotten shunned a little bit. So now the church is stepping forward and just continuing on with what they already knew. Only one problem. We see 2 different groups in the church, because the first group You see it spelled, the Hebraic group, they spoke Hebrew, they were from Palestine. They understood, they were deep in Hebrew history. But this other group, they spoke Greek. And and even their Old Testament Bible was written in Greek, different from Hebrew. So there were these two different groups in the church. Now, how many groups do we have now? That's simple. Two groups is simple. But it didn't take long, did it? And there was a problem that, and you might see it as a simple problem, but just like a few weeks ago, we talked about the problem of hypocrisy in the church. It was a poison. Well, this is another poison. This spirit of division that can come into the church, it can suck the oxygen right out. And here they are, the church is moving. The enemy has tried to oppose the church, but it keeps getting stronger and bigger and better. And so now he's changing his tactics, and we're going to move inside the church, and he brings conflict among the believers. It might seem unusual in the text, right? I mean, things have been going pretty good. Well, I don't know about you, but this is kind of the church I grew up with. How about you? This is the church I know and love, right? This doesn't seem unusual to us, but to them, this was highly unusual to have this conflict. And so as we consider this problem, I want you to think about it as mission critical. And there's another mission that this reminds me of, and some of you lived it in real time, some of you just read about it, or you saw the movie, and that's Apollo 13. You remember that mission. It was going so well, just like the church. It was going so good. Can you imagine the technology it took to send people to the moon and back again? This was the third mission, Apollo 13. They were going to go land on the moon again. But on April 13th, 1970, the manned lunar landing mission had a hiccup. They were 200,000 miles from Earth, and the number two oxygen tank exploded. And now, it wasn't about getting to the moon. It was about getting back home again. And the whole world was fixated on what we were going to do. In fact, I can tell you, behind closed doors, in fact, the president had prepared two speeches. One you never got to hear. That was if the astronauts would perish on their way to reentry. He had a speech prepared for that. And then he had the other speech, which we did get to hear, because we know it ended well, right? Well, can you imagine these famous words as they came across the radio? Houston, we all know it, right? We have a problem. And contrary to popular belief, Tom Hanks was not on that mission, but he did make the movie, and he did quite well. I mean, I felt like we were a part of it. But now the issue was not getting to the moon, but how do we survive and get back? The problem was severe because they weren't going to be able to breathe and filter the carbon monoxide. And so in time, they would all die. And so what happened? Well, first thing they did, just like we see in our text today, people began to pray all across the world. In fact, here's a picture of children in England. They took time in their school day, and they paused to pray for the American astronauts. The whole world got involved and was fixated on this one event. Well, there were a lot of people praying, but something else happened in Mission Control. They called together all of the engineers, all of the technicians, all the wise people, the smart folks, right, that had put this whole mission together, and they got together and they said, how are we going to fix this problem? It was huge. And I can tell you, most of them thought, well, we'll try. I don't know. Because here's the problem. They're 200,000 miles away from home. And to fix this problem, well, if they were on Earth, it'd be easy. They'd get together and they'd do a fix. But they're not, and they're far away. And so these men who got together, they said, okay, here's our problem. Let's figure out what these astronauts have available to work with. Yeah, and so they did, and they spent many hours, and they came up and laid everything out on the table. You saw it in the movie, right? These are all the things the astronauts have. Now we got to take this. And it was kind of like putting a square peg in a round hole, right? That's what it was. And they worked on this, and over a period of time, They came up with a solution. And we know it was great. On April 17th, as the world was anxiously watching and wondering, the tragedy came to a triumphal end, and the problem was solved, and the astronauts safely came back home. Some say it was a miracle. It was a miracle. I believe that what's happening to the church right now is on a higher scale than this. And it was mission critical, because the enemy knew, well, I can't get them from without, so I'm going to have to deal with them from within. And he brought in a spirit of division. Have you ever experienced it? A spirit of conflict. I was talking to someone this week about God's math. God's math, you've seen it in Acts, haven't you? God adds. God multiplies. Does God subtract? Oh, yeah. Don't you remember? Ananias and Sapphira, -2. All right. God adds, God subtracts, God multiplies. But one thing God never does is divide. The enemy's bringing division into the church because he knows it's his only chance if he's going to affect this mission. So I want you to take out your insert. It's in your bulletin. And we're going to consider today four problem-solving truths, four that we're going to learn from Peter and John and how they dealt with a problem. You'll be able to apply this in a lot of areas in life, but we're looking at the church. When we have problems, how do we respond? Because this is new for the church. They haven't had to experience this yet. We got a lot of experience at it, don't we? But they didn't. This was like, whoa, how's this happening? Well, let's pick it up. Go back to verse 1 again. It'll be on the screen. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Here's the first principle. Always know this one. More people means more problems. Always. Sorry. Wherever people are, there's going to be problems. And what the church has experienced really is growing pains. Growth brings problems, always does. Doesn't mean you're a bad church if you have problems. Doesn't mean you're a bad family if you have problems. The issue is, of course, people. And wherever people are, wherever, you know, if there's problems, that, you know what that means? It means people are present. That's what it means. People are present. In fact, in Proverbs 14:4, it says, without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. What do you see there? It's pretty simple. Hey, if we're going to have a large harvest, we need to have big oxen, and they're going to ground out the wheat. And you know what oxen do? They make a mess on the floor. Yeah. And so if you're going to have a strong oxen, strong wheat, you're going to have to do some cleanup work, right? That's the way it is. Now, if you want to have a clean floor, no problem. Just remove the oxen. But if you remove the oxen, what else do you remove? You remove the harvest. So it's going to happen. Now, I think Solomon's trying to suggest. I heard a pastor say once, you know, pastors get together sometimes. I wish I could record it for you. It's amazing. And some of them, you know, I hear a lot of complaining, you know. Oh, about this people. Because I tell them, I said, man, not me. I'm in a great church. People love me. I love them. It's awesome. They think I'm lying. But I said, no, it's wonderful. I heard a pastor say one time one of these meetings, you know, pastoring would be a great job if you didn't have to deal with people. He doesn't understand. Well, if you have problems, of course you do. Yeah, the church is a place of great diversity, more so than even the early church. That was the beginning, just two. Imagine now we got so much diversity. We got denominations everywhere, so much diversity. You need to expect problems. If your expectation is no problems, you're going to be frustrated. In fact, if there are no problems, it means you're not growing and you're not doing anything. That's the only way. Oh, it's kind of like paying taxes. How many of you like paying taxes? Three people. That's good. Thank you. Okay. I remember my son growing up. I didn't know he was going to become an accountant, but there was a hint now and then, because I remember he would buy things. April probably remembers this, and he would buy things. He'd pay for it, and he'd say, Dad, would you pay for my tax? I don't want to pay the taxes. Sure. And I always did that. He had me trained. I'd pay the taxes. He told me the other day, how old is he, 40? Something now. You're looking at her. he says, Dad, I still don't like paying taxes. I still don't like it, right? But here's the deal. I don't like paying taxes either. But here's the good news. If you owe taxes, that means you made money. Hello? You want to get out of paying taxes? Just stop making money. It's simple. It's simple. Just stop making money and you won't have to pay any taxes. Is this, is this not, It's the same way with what we're talking about. Hey, if you're in the church, you got people around, you're going to have problems wherever the people are. In John 16:33, in the New International Version, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Yeah, what's Jesus saying? Hey, you can't help it. I'm sorry, can't avoid it. If you're here, you're going to have trouble. Can we put problems? You're going to have problems. You have difficulties. Things are going to happen. They're going to be really difficult. But I'm going to give you peace and be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. I'm going to be with you through this problem-solving time, right? And later in Colossians, it's listed on the screen. I hope you wrote it down. Later, you can meditate on its context. But Colossians 3:13 in the New International Version, bear with each other, Paul said, and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Excuse me. Isn't he talking to the church? It almost suggests that there are problems. Why would you need that? Unless there were problems. It's people problems. When those problems come, you must, number two, guard this carefully. Guard against a critical spirit. You see it in the text that they complained. Some of your texts will say they murmured. It was a real problem, and they began to talk about it, and somehow it got to the ears of the apostles. And do you notice something in the text? They didn't rebuke them. They didn't say, you people, stop complaining. They said, let's fix the problem. That was their attitude. And he said, listen, wherever there's people, there's going to be problems. We recognize that. Let's see what we can do to solve the problem. You can talk about problems, but you can do it without having a critical spirit. Listen to this, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Here's how you do that. If you want to know how, he gives the answer. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Sounds like people problems. Yeah? You mean we have faults? That's other churches. It's not this church. You probably heard about it. Some, not here. Yeah. How about your family? Hey, let's get it real down where we live, right? This is just a group of people. The more people you have, the more problems you have. Isn't that what we found out? More people, more problems, same way. Make every effort, he said, to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. He knew that was mission critical. They knew what was going on, and Paul knew this is years later. It's still going on. In fact, the problems are increasing. Read your New Testament. But we're problem solvers, aren't we? Later in the same chapter, verse 29 and 32, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. How many of you need to hear that? I told him in early service that my wife's only swore one time. And she swore at me and scared me. It scared me. She's really upset with me. I never heard my wife swear, but she swore. See, we're just like you, aren't we? You didn't know that. And she called, I won't tell you, I'll give you the abbreviation. She called me a DA. In fact, I put those initials behind my name all the time. You figure it out. Okay. And I told her, I said, you can't talk that way to the pastor. And you're the pastor's wife. She said, so? And I was nervous about it. I said, I'm going to tell the church. So I did. Okay. So we're right down there with you. I just want you to know. I know you think we serve communion every day in our home. It's just wonderful. And we sing choruses and stuff. But you know, we have problems. We have problems. And we're happily married. We still have problems. Just keep it there. I have awakened a sleeping giant. In first service, their closing song was Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Connie reached over and squeezed my hand and hugged me because that's the song they sang in our wedding 51 years ago. Ooh, so neat. And she kissed me on the cheek. I said, should we be doing this during worship? Now people are going to be getting behind you. Okay. You can have wonderful times and still have problems. And there could be times. I remember in the Salvation Army, we had a men's social service, you know, and these people came off the streets. We told them, you know, they had problems with swearing. So the rule was you can say hell and damn, and that's it. So that was the rule, hey? How many of you, that was uncomfortable for some people, but hey, it was a step in the right direction, right? So hey, listen, when you're working with people and you're in the church, there's going to be problems. And you got, you know, I'd like to say we live in an ivory tower, but we don't. You got to know that. And he says, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. But remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you'll be saved on the day of redemption. He's talking to Christians here. Come on. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Why do you got to get rid of something if it's not a problem? It's a problem, okay? Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Do you know if you do that, you're setting yourself up to be a problem solver. It's true. And it's evident, reading church history, they didn't sit around singing kumbaya. They had difficulties. They had problems that came their way. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up quarrels, but love makes up for all offenses. I like that. 1 Peter 4:8, you know this one, right? Most important of all, he said. Most important. Continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. That's problem-solving talk. See, because, sorry, he's talking to believers. Are we going to have issues? We're going to have issues. And how are we going to relate to one another? Love. Love is going to help us position us. Now, the question must arise. How do you know if you have a critical spirit? Because most of the people who have a critical spirit will tell you they don't. Isn't it true? I mean, my wife told me today, now that we're on this topic, she says, you know, Joe, when you talk to people sometimes, you're like a prosecuting attorney. It's like you're interrogating them. What was my response? That's not true. That's not true. Well, did she just make it up? Of course it's true. She wouldn't have said it. It's true. I need to know that. How are you going to know it? Listen to me. Hey, you know you got a problem here. And turn your paper over. And on the back, I got a short list for you. This will help you. I'm not talking about how long you've been to church, how long you've been a Christian. I'm talking about, do you have a critical spirit? Because it'll suck the oxygen right out of the mission if you're not careful. Here's the first one. Critical spirit people stand outside, and problem-solving people, they come alongside. You see that in our story today. Yeah. Critical people, they can tell you what the problem is. But they're going to stand outside. They're not in the middle. They're out here talking about it. But problem-solving people, they come right in the middle of it. Who modeled that for us? Jesus did. Jesus did, didn't he? I didn't come to serve, I came to serve. I didn't just stay up here and point at you and tell you all that was wrong. I came down to get in the middle of it because I'm going to solve your problem. Side people, you're just standing outside of situations. That's easy, isn't it? It's always easy to stand outside. Secondly, critical spirit people, they see the problem. Problem solvers see the solution. And listen, when you have a critical spirit and you see it, it's not that you're seeing something that's not true. It's not that it's not true. It could be absolutely true. You see the problem. But you don't want to get involved in the solution. Again, you don't want to come alongside. And all you see is the problem. That's all you talk about is the problem. But maybe God wants you to, and you're going to see it in the story today, there's a problem. But God's going to select some men in the church who have wisdom and they're full of the Spirit. And they're going to see the solution to the problem. That's the way God made us, isn't it? Thirdly, just tell me if this isn't true. People with a critical spirit, they have no joy. And problem solvers, they're full of joy, overflowing with joy. That's always going to be true. And so if you're lacking in joy, it may be, you might want to check this out. Because, you know, that negative critical spirit, especially people that you don't agree with, they don't agree with you. It's a murmuring. Even the Greek word sounds that way. You know, suck the joy right out of your life. This, and it'll create division. And just a couple more things just to add to it. You can build on this list. This is just a short list, right? Hey, here's a suggestion. If you're not really still not sure, you're still not sure, ask somebody. My wife, she'll shoot me straight, and that's good. People who love you. Now, a lot of people won't tell you the truth because they don't want to hurt your feelings. But I need to know this. And you need to know. Ask somebody who loves you. Hey, do I have a critical spirit? And listen to them. Listen to them. Listen. People are drawn to problem solvers, but they will always avoid critical people. Are people avoiding you? Yeah? You know something I notice about people with a critical spirit? They're always angry and frustrated with people. Always. I used to drive down the street and I could tell you everything that's wrong with every church. Well, that church. And that church. And that church. I had somebody with me in the car once, taking them around town. Gave them a tour of what's wrong. I had a critical spirit. Critical spirit. Listen, people with a critical spirit will always default to gossip. Always. I didn't say it wasn't true. It could be absolutely true. But the spirit of gossip holds hands with a critical spirit. And it will always, it'll tell you everything's wrong with everybody. Tell you every sin everybody. Listen. It'll suck the oxygen out of the mission. That's how important this is. Let's keep reading. Acts 6:2. So, the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, just like mission control, didn't it? Yeah. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Some of yours will say a good reputation. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and also Philip and a bunch of other guys with hard names, right? Yeah. Prochorus, Nicanor, Timian or Timian, who knows? When we get to heaven, they'll correct us, I'm sure. Parmenius, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. He wasn't a Jew and he converted to Jew. Anybody notice something about this list? What's the problem? It's the Greek widows. These are all Greek. These are all Greek-speaking believers in the temple. What wisdom. What wisdom. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. Very important. Write this down. 3. Problems are nothing but open doors to serve. They're open doors to serve or to minister. Jesus addresses this in Matthew 20, 25 through 28. Jesus called them together. Called his disciples. Come here, guys. Got something important to say to you. Because he overheard them talk about who's the greatest. You know, even mom got involved with 2 of the boys. Can they sit on the right? Yeah. Jesus knew, hey, this will suck the oxygen right out of the mission. So he brought them together. He says, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people. And officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man, here it is, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know what's interesting? The Greek word for serve is used in our text, same word for ministry. They're interchangeable. You could even use it here. He didn't come to be ministered to, he came to minister. You get what's happening here? This is mission critical. When problems arise, it's an opportunity to serve. It's an opportunity to minister. How many of you are a little offended by the words of the apostles? Does it sound like they're saying we're too good to wait on tables? Come on, you know you thought that, right? Well, who do they think they are? Yeah, I'm above that. Okay, yeah, that's not what they were saying. It's not about class. It's about calling. It's not that the ministers need to do more. It's a call for more ministers. That's what it is. It takes everybody. It takes everybody. Yeah. This is not a spectator sport. We're all involved. That's what they're saying. We all need to get involved. And can I just thank you, Faith Community Church? Because Yeah, they talk about being devoted to prayer and the word. Thank you. You allow me to do that. And I thank you for that. I spend at least 20 hours a week preparing and praying. I pray over the roster. I'm not tooting my horn, I'm just telling you. But you know what? That takes time. And you gotta be intentional about it. Because I can tell you, your phone alone will suck that opportunity away from you. That's why when I'm in study and prayer, my wife gets my phone. And she will, if something comes across and it's mission critical, she will interrupt me. Otherwise, it will wait. So you might even get a text, this is Connie, I'll let him know, he'll call you later. You know, why? The scripture. We have to keep our priorities straight or we'll never solve the problems. But I want you to also know, we're all ministers. Every one of us. Every one of us. It upsets me when I hear people say, I'm going into full-time ministry now. Oh, really? We're all in full-time ministry. You may have a tent-making thing going on, but we're all in full-time ministry. We're all ministers. We're all servants. You can interchange those words. It's just, we got Pat, who's not here today. She's with her grandkids, but she takes care of our finances. I'm glad I don't have to do that. Man, we have a finance council. Hank's president of our finance council. They meet together. They deal with all the finances. Man, I'm sure glad. We got Donna in the office. Takes care of administration. Wow, I'm so grateful for that. We got elders. I couldn't do it without them. Listen, this is not a one-man show. Can't happen. Can't happen. It'll suck the life right out of the church, you know. I'm the Lone Ranger. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. If I kind of envision, I love to watch you Navy guys. Yeah, the flat tops and the jets. I love to watch those Discovery Channels and they're showing how they land the planes. And I noticed something. I think the most exciting thing is flying a plane. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, isn't that what we want to do? We want to fly the plane. I want to get in there. I want to give it full throttle. I want to feel the G's. Glory to God. But you know, for that to happen, you notice all those people running around that plane? Without them, that plane never takes off. And there's people you don't even see. That's just what you see. It takes a whole ship full, thousands of people, to complete this mission. It's the same. That's all they're saying. Listen, to solve these problems, we need everybody, all hands on deck. Everybody's going to be serving. What kind of people are we looking for here? We're looking for people of good reputation, full of the Spirit. You mean you need the Holy Ghost to wait on tables? What? What are you talking about? Listen, let me tell you something. Write this down. There's nothing we do in this church, nothing, apart from the Holy Spirit. I don't care what you're talking about. Last week, we had funerals. While I'm at a gravesite doing a funeral, my wife and many of the rest of you were preparing a meal here for a family to minister to them. Pastor too good to help? No. I'd love to help. But I can't do it all, see. And I have this responsibility, but we all need to share in it. And I couldn't do that without your help. I need you. You need me. We're all ministers. Listen, organization is taking place. How many of you, have you ever said, I hate the organized church? I hate it. Come on. I've said it too. I hate the organized church. I know what you're saying. But here's the reality. There needs to be a little organization. That's what's happening here. We got to get organized. But what's the difference? We are organized for release of ministry, not for control. There's a difference. You ever been under a deal where you're organized for control? They want to micromanage everything you do. Did you notice something in this story? After the apostles appointed these guys, laid down, they didn't tell them what to do. Did they? They say, okay, now you need to do this and this. And I said, no, take care of it. Take care of it. Nothing's worse than responsibility without authority. You ever been there? You got all the responsibility and somebody else is telling you everything you got to do and they're correcting you. Yeah, no, you got to do it my way. But no, just release people. That's the problem, see? And here, we're getting to see it. This is what's going to happen in church. You're going to see it here as this thing ends. It's going to explode because you're releasing people for what purpose? So you can control everything they do and make sure they do it the way you would do it? No. No, you're releasing them. Hey, go do it. Go do it. That's what's happening. Galatians 5:13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, love is the key. How are we going to get all these people from all different walks together? You can, you know, slave, free, Greek, Jew, Gentile, male, female, slave and free. How's it going to all, rich and poor? Listen, that's a recipe for problems. Yeah, don't you see it in the world? That's what happens. But the church should be different. We should be able to come together, great diversity. See, I know that's why denominations exist. We all want to think alike, look alike, talk alike. And some of you are very uncomfortable with people who don't talk like you, look like you. I get excited about it. I meet with people who totally disagree with me. And, ooh, but I enjoy it. I love it because we love each other. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. This is very important. Say, Pastor, you read this verse all the time. I know. You need to read it all the time. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but for the interests of others too. You ready to read the last two verses? Here they are. This seems exciting, huh? Well, we're going from serving tables. So, the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Really? Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. What? You mean this is the guy who's bussing tables? See, you got to think different. You got a larger capacity. We're all servants. We read it off camera. It is our reasonable worship. We present ourselves to God for service. And nothing happens without the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's the last point. God's grace and power will be magnified. It will be magnified in these opportunities of problem solving and service. Isn't that what Acts 1:8 was all about? It is the launching pad for the book of Acts. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what Acts is. You're going to see it. It's actually laid out just like that. Right now, we're in Jerusalem. We haven't left Jerusalem yet. We're still there. But then we're going to go to Judea. And then we're going to go to Samaria. And then we're going to come to Wichita, Kansas. Isn't that what it's saying? Yeah. Isn't that amazing? They're still in the temple. Wow, this is just incredible. Don't lose sight of this. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to fill you, and this is what's going to happen. It's what's happening already. 1 Corinthians 2:4, Paul said, "In my message and my preaching were not very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit." The NIV says, the demonstration of the Spirit. Do you demonstrate the Spirit in your life? Do people see? Is it undercover? Or is it obvious? Steve preached a great sermon last week, didn't he? It's not just a great word. It's something we need to live. We are co-partnering with the Holy Spirit from the littlest responsibilities to the biggest. Isn't that what 1 Corinthians is all about? So when Paul talks about the body, I can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. You can't say, well, if I'm not the arm, then I'm not part of the body. Isn't he saying this? Listen, they're getting to learn this practically. We need every part needs to do its part. And when a part is missing, you really know about it, right? And every part is a minister, and every part is a servant. And 1 Thessalonians 1:5 and 6, our last scripture. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake, reputation. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of serving, in the midst of severe suffering, with joy given by the Holy Spirit. See, it's all by the Holy Spirit. There's nothing we do. I don't care what your responsibility is. I don't care if you're picking up Panera's on Thursday night and bring it to the church. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And be ready, because you may have a mission critical situation come up in those times, because we are all in full-time ministry wherever we are, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're mowing your yard, your neighbor comes, you meet somebody at the store. I don't care what it is. You're as much full-time ministry as I am. If it'll help you, I'll just stop taking a paycheck. Would that make it clear? See, I'll just go. That's what I did for years. I was a tent maker for 18 years, and I still minister just like I'm doing now. It's not about money. It's about service. It's about ministry. It's about having wisdom and the Holy Spirit to do the work. Can I leave you just one scripture just real quick? Because I was thinking about it earlier when we talk about these men were full of wisdom, right? What's that mean? Tell me if this is a good problem solver right here. Because I think, what part does wisdom have in problem solving? Here it is. In James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above, is that the wisdom we're talking about? I think, yeah. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Does that sound like a critical spirit to you? No. That's people who walk in this kind of wisdom. No wonder that was one of the requirements. No matter what you do in the church, whether you're fixing a meal for a family, whatever it is, our ushers, our greeters, you guys, all the work that goes into this up here, people who pray and you don't even know about it, people are helping out. Matt comes every week and helps out and does what he comes up and goes, I'm reporting for duty. What do you need? Man, I'd like to clone that guy. Is that ministry? Is it important? It's just as important as anything else. Do you see it? So I want to encourage your heart today. You got those 4 points. I know what your one thing is of those 4 points. Is it the people problem thing? Is it, hey, stop fighting problems, okay? They're going to be here. Make your expectation realistic and just say, okay, Lord, I'm ready to embrace these problems, right? Stay away from the critical spirit. That's going to probably be a lot of people's one thing, and you won't get that fixed by next Sunday, let me tell you. But you can start on it right now, and you'll do it. You'll do it by finding, I believe service is a way to do it. Instead of being critical and constantly complaining, how do people see me? Oh, I just want to be full of wisdom and the Spirit, and I want to make things better. I want to be helpful wherever I am. And when I walk in the room, it's not just to tear people down, but to build people up. Amen? I'm not denying reality. But in that reality, in that problem, I'm going to bring hope. How about you? I want a church like this. Glory to God. You know what will happen? You won't have enough seats. I'm telling you. You won't have enough seats. The ministry will explode. And the Holy Spirit's going to come in signs and wonders. You wonder why there aren't as many. Maybe this is a door for us. Father, as we prepare to come to the table today, speak to our hearts that one thing you want us to have. Open our hearts to receive it. We're ready, Lord. We know there's plenty of problems to go around. And we want to be a problem solver by your Spirit and by your wisdom. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we come to the table, I want you to reflect on this scripture, Ephesians 5. Jesus is speaking. Or Paul is speaking about Christ in our lives and to the Ephesians. And he gives them this exhortation. He says, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. So how are we supposed to do this? Well, we're just supposed to be children. But didn't Jesus say that? Unless you become like the children, you'll not enter the kingdom. You know what children are most known for? They trust. Unless they've been hurt, they trust. I could put a little child up on a chair right now. I can pull up any child upstairs, bring them down here, say on the count of three, jump in my arms, and they will do it. They'll do it. They won't say, well, I wonder if he's really going to catch me or not. No, they just trust. We need to come as children. At Faith Group the other night, we were talking about children and how when you come as a child, you embrace mystery. Children, we don't like mystery, but children, they love mystery. I think there's such a mystery. God is so big. We need to come in that spirit and follow the example of Christ and love the way he loved. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That's how you solve problems. That's how you solve problems. I think it's more of a love problem than anything else. So we're going to pray. As you come to the table today, don't take the cup and bread until you give God an opportunity to speak this into your heart. He's going to speak personally to you. That one thing, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. But maybe something extra. Somebody sent me a text last week. It got a one thing and it wasn't in the sermon. How'd you get that? You can't get that. It wasn't in the sermon. Well, it's what God spoke to me. It was my one thing. It was some little word that was spoken at the end. Hey, I'm fine. Just get it. Don't leave empty-handed today. Amen. Father, as we prepare our hearts to come to the table, I pray you continue to minister to us. We are overwhelmed by the mission that is before us. And we know there are problems everywhere. But you have called us. You have called us with wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit to be problem solvers. And I pray you'll equip us for that purpose. And let us love the way you love. Let us walk in forgiveness the way you forgave us. Lord, hallelujah. Thank you. We're ready to embrace these problems. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We invite you to come down the center aisle, go to the side table, take the cup and bread, return to your seat, and we'll receive it together. God bless you as you come. Father, I thank you, along with my brothers and sisters, Lord, my friends. We've come together based around this one truth, that we had a problem and you fixed it. You came as the answer. And now, Lord, I believe from that place, we are partakers of your nature. And we go into the world not to be served, but to serve. Lord, we know that there'll be problems all around us. I pray we will see them as opportunities to minister full time, Lord, and serve others around us. Let it begin in our families, with our spouses, our children, expand out to our grandchildren, our neighbors, where we work, wherever we are. Lord, I pray that we can be like those here in the early church, of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Hallelujah. And engage these situations around us. Hallelujah. Lord, don't let us be complainers and whiners, but let us come alongside and see the solution that comes only through the gospel message. What a privilege, what an opportunity we have. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Stand with me if you're able. As we dismiss, I want to thank you again for coming next week. Pick it up, verse 9. Stephen's going to get arrested again. Another arrest. That's his first time. His first time. He's going to go on trial. Amen. Going to go on trial. And chapter 7, whoa. You're going to see one of the greatest sermons. I don't know where he had time to prepare. He was waiting tables. How do you do this? But he lays out the Old Testament story to the high council. This is awesome. In fact, if you want a good outline of the Old Testament, read chapter 7, because he's going to do it. And then he's going to be stoned to death. What a story. Wow. He will be the first of many. And it all started waiting tables. Waiting tables. There would be no question that day who's in the ministry. We all are. We all are. Amen. So I'm going to pray over you today. If you need prayer, we're going to stay behind. Connie and I would love to pray with you. If there's more people, and you got to wait a little, just sit in the front row and just be patient. We'll get to you and we'll stay as long as necessary. Love to pray with you. You need healing in your body. We'll anoint you with oil. We'll pray for you. That is, you got a problem? You got a problem. You want somebody to come alongside? You want somebody to speak wisdom into your problem? Sometimes that helps. You know, those guys south of Apollo 13, it took all of them. All of them. Not one guy had the answer, but a bunch of them together did. And maybe that's true when we get counselors. There's safety in the abundance of counselors. And somebody will have a perspective I don't have. And man, that's what it's all about. It is a church, and we get to live it out every day. So let me pray over you. Please respond. You'll be dismissed. If you come back at 4 o'clock, we'd love to see you. Amen. In fact, those of you who meet Saturday at Egg Crate, you guys, hey, there's a chance our waitress is coming at 4 o'clock today because she can't come to church on Sunday. So we told her, well, you got to come 4 o'clock on Sunday. We're going to pray. So she's going to come. And she said, if I come the next Saturday, you got to eat whatever I serve you. I said, I'll do it. Pray. pray. Glory to God. Pray. I'll do for the kingdom. I'll do it. I'll do it. Amen. Father, I love you. I'm so excited just to be able to minister and serve every day. Lord, I thank you for the callings you put on our lives. I thank you for those you put in our midst. And I just believe, Lord, you're calling us, all of us. This isn't a spectator thing. We're all going to step onto the field, and you're going to use us. It's going to be powerful, and it can't help but explode when everyone is responding to your Spirit. Lord, I pray it be true, just like the early church. Let us walk in this reality. We love you. We love each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go in God's love, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.